Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
You know, today we are doing I'm finishing up the second part of this little mini series on hope is alive. I want to welcome online, I want to welcome television, I want to welcome all campuses, because we are here intentionally today. We're here to preach the name of Jesus. We're here to tell you that your past does not equal your future. We're here to tell you that your present does not equal your future. And we're here to tell you that your future is so bright you got to wear shades, because Jesus said that he came to give you life and life more abundantly. So I just want to let you know, Jesus is alive, hope is alive, and whatever is dead in your life, we're looking for resurrection. We're on a resurrection hunt today. I remember just this past week or so, we had the Monday after Easter off work. And so Pastor David and I don't rest really well. So we spent our time driving around the Ferguson-Florissant area looking for places to plant a church, looking for empty buildings, looking for buildings that could be empty, looking for buildings that'll rent us a space. And what most people don't know about when I go up to that area, because we're going up to that area to plant more hope, more life, more love, right? More Jesus. So we're going to plant hope. But when I go into that area, I have to bring with me a certain amount of bravery, because that is the area that I lived in when I was married before. That's the area that I was abused in. That's the area where my rib was broken and my C7 was herniated. That's the area where the police knew my name, because they knew they needed to watch out for me and make sure I was safe. That's the area where I became homeless, because I couldn't live in my home anymore. It wasn't safe. I had to abandon it, and I had to go live with my cousin. That's the area where I had a bankruptcy and a foreclosure, because without me, he didn't pay the bills because he was spending all the money on drugs. So I understand what hopelessness feels like, because as I go into that area, I have a struggle. When we first started going, we would drive down these streets, and even just this past week when we were there, we would drive down the streets, and I would have this certain kind of feeling when the memories would come back. Does anybody ever drive down where you used to live or a house you used to live in, and you just have some memories, and they make you feel some kind of way? Well, the ways that I would feel up there, it was negative. And I have to tell you, I can't allow the hopelessness that I felt in that area to keep Faith Church from going and ministering in that area. And I think the devil knew 25 years ago, she's coming back and she's bringing God with her. So come on. So I want this bad stuff to happen to her so she doesn't ever want to come back here again. I'm here to tell you the bad things that are happening to you or have happened to you might be because the devil sees a light on the inside of you for that very specific place for a very specific time. And you might be thinking, I can't, because I have to nurse that wound again. And God is saying, no, I'm going to resurrect you in the very space that it looked like you died. God has big plans for you. So we're going back to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 12. It's Easter Sunday, except they didn't know it was Easter Sunday, right? Because the Easter bunny had not come. No chocolate eggs, no dyed eggs, no brand new Easter dress, which is like a crime, right? It felt like any given day. It felt like any given day. You see, their blessing happened that morning, but they weren't aware of it. They were flat in the afternoon, and they were depressed and sad and hopeless. And these were guys who knew Jesus, two of his disciples, two of the guys who know what Jesus ordered at Taco Bell. That's how tight they were. I mean, because like we know who each other is, right? But if you went to Taco Bell with me, would you know that I was going to order a Mexican pizza with no beef sub beans? They knew each other like that. They were tight. But yet, Jesus comes along as they're walking. They're walking, leaving Jerusalem, leaving the place where Jesus is risen from the dead, and headed back home. I just want to tell you today, don't head home too quick. Don't head back to that place that you think is safe too quick, because you might be walking away from your blessing. just because it looks tight, just because it looks dark, just because the blessing hasn't been revealed to you yet, I'm here to tell you, blessing is in your future. God has a plan for you. What is happening right now does not change his thoughts. So here's this guy, he's like, hey, can I walk with you? And they're like, sure. But they don't know who he is. They didn't recognize him. Has that ever happened to you? You ever like know somebody from school or work or church, but you see them like at Walmart and you have no idea who they are? They're like, hey, you're like, huh? That happened to me. One of my favorite restaurants in West Palm Beach is Benny's on the Beach. When you go to West Palm Beach, because it is like an ordinance of this church, I don't even know if churches have ordinances, I'm making this up, but it is an ordinance of this church. If you go here, you got to go to West Palm Beach one time, like in January. Amen? Yeah. So there's this pier, and there are these tables on either side. You walk down the middle of the pier. There's a table here, and you just walk down the middle. And I was all the way at the end of the pier. And so we walk down the end of the pier. We sit down. We eat our food. We enjoy the view. Finish up. I'm waiting for the server to bring the check. I'm like, excuse me. Can I have my check, please? And they're like, oh, ma'am, somebody's paid your check. Excuse me? Somebody paid my check? Yeah, somebody paid your check. Well, who was it? Oh, they want to remain anonymous, but they go to your church. Are they still here? No, they already left. Are you kidding me? Are you telling me that I walked right past my blessing? I didn't know my blessing was there. I was doing something that I thought was going to cost me. I was eating food that I thought was going to cost me. You're in a relationship you think is going to cost you. You're at a job where you think you're not going anywhere. You're someplace right now you don't think they recognize your gifts and your talent. You're thinking, this is going to cost me. And yet my bill was already paid in the midst of thinking it was costing me. Their bill was paid. Their salvation was sure. Jesus is risen from the dead and next to him, and they don't recognize him. Hope is alive. It's with you right now, whether you recognize it or not. You might be looking at your present and thinking it's hopeless, and God looks at your present and says, look at the potential. There is so much potential in what's happening to you and through you right at this very moment. So they go on, and in verse 17, Jesus says to him, man, you seem to be in such a deep discussion. What are you guys talking about? And he says, so sad. So gloomy. And he goes on, I think it's verse 19, and he says, and then they stopped. The Amplified Version says, they stood still and they looked sad and downcast. You see, that's the problem with hopelessness. Hopelessness will stop you. Hopelessness will make you quit. Hopelessness will help you to give up. And nothing about that is godly. God says, whatever you do, don't give up. God says, believe in me even when the believing is hard. God says, have faith even when it looks impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. There are possible impossibilities in your life right now. But we have a tendency to be like this little furry creature that, well, I just brought you a picture of this little furry creature. Do you guys mind sharing a picture of my little friend? Oh, there he is. You know, they never, ever put a possum costume at Halloween. Nobody ever wants to be a possum. None of you are thinking right now, oh, I hope my child is in children's ministry petting a possum. Nobody likes a possum. They're not famous. They just have this one infamous quality. The infamous quality is this. Whenever stress comes, whenever they get upset, whenever they're threatened, they go into an involuntary coma. For 40 minutes up to 4 hours. And they can't control it. It's involuntary and it's so convincing. His little paws curl up. He starts drooling like your spouse does when they're sleeping on your pillow. Right? And rigor mortis even sets into his body. So here he is stiff. He looks dead for up to 4 hours. And I wonder, is that what you and I do when we lose hope? We become stiff. We become rigid. We give up and we don't move. God didn't create you not to move. God created you to go from faith to faith, from victory to victory, from level to level. God has so much more for you. Do you believe that God is on your side today? If so, I want you to just praise Him for 1 second. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am not a possum. Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, I knew that. So we get back into Luke 24. Cleopas answers Jesus. And I think he's a little frustrated and a little anxious. And he's like, well, haven't you heard? I mean, Jesus, aren't you on social media? Did nobody text you? Are you the only guy in town who didn't get a phone call? What is up? Is your phone not working? Dude, you so need to upgrade from the iPhone 4. He says, no, everybody's talking about it. And Jesus answers him with a question. You see, Jesus never asks a question because he doesn't know the answer. Jesus asks the question because we either have the wrong answer or we're asking the wrong question. So he says, what things? Because he knew that they were about to tell him everything that he had already overcome. I wonder if in prayer sometimes you and I, when we're talking to God, we go ahead and talk to him about everything that we're like, but God, my relationship's dead. He's like, oh, I've already breathed life into it. You haven't seen it yet. And then 3 days, you're going to be totally over it. But God, they're not recognizing me at work. He's like, oh, I'm already speaking to your boss about it. And they're going to give you a promotion in 6 months. But God, I just don't have the finances. He's like, yeah, that promotion I lined up for you, that's going to fix your financial problems. But God, I don't have any friends. He's like, I got two people moving to town right now that are going to be your best friends. We talk to him about all the problems and God's in heaven going, but I already got all the solutions. I already got all the solutions. He said, do you possibly think, do you think it is possible at all for God to be in heaven going, oh man, I didn't see that coming. Oh snap, what am I going to do now? Oh, they got sick, I didn't know. I didn't even know you could get influenza B. I just thought they stopped at A. Heaven is not panicking at your problem. God is alive. God is willing. God is able. God is King of Kings. God is Lord of Lords. God is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. God is the author of time. God is the creator of space. God is the creator of your body. And anything that goes wrong with it, He can make it new again. God has the answer before there is the question. God is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. There is not an ending. He doesn't know about it. And there's not something going on that He can't change because He is God. And He's so good. He's so good. But we don't see it. Jesus asked Him what things, so He goes on. He says, oh, well, Jesus, there was... He didn't say Jesus because He's talking about Jesus. He says, Jesus was a man from Nazareth. And, you know, he was a mighty prophet, it says in the scripture. Oh, and He could do wonders and miracles, but His words were, they were powerful, and oh my gosh, he had great favor with God and with men. All of it was past tense. All of it was whining. All of it was over. He was talking about Him as if He was gone, and yet here He stands. We talk about our life being over. We talk about the relationship being over. We talk about the job being over. We talk about that chapter being over. We talk about things as if they're over. We talk about things as if they're done. We talk about things as if they're unchangeable. And friends, I want to ask us, where is our hope? Where is our hope in a God who can change the unchangeable, fix the unfixable, make the impossible possible, do the miracle? Do you believe in a God of miracles today? It's not over. You're not over. The marriage isn't over. The health diagnosis isn't over. You're not going to die. You're going to live with long life. You're satisfied. Long life, friends. If you're in your 50s, your life ain't long yet. If your marriage is 20 years, it ain't long yet. And you're going to be satisfied. That means it's going to be good. That means no walker. That means no limping. That means no arthritis. That no, I'm going to stay married just because. None of that. He said, with long life, we're going to be satisfied. How many of you are ready for some of that? Who was it? Who was it that sang, I can't get no satisfaction, but I try, and I try, and I try, and I try, but I can't get no. Well, you ain't looking at Jesus. He said,
Let's just stop there for a second. He said, well, I don't quite believe you, Pastor Nicole. Well, that's awesome, but I didn't say it. He said, with long life, you will be satisfied. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ready to be satisfied. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm going to get some satisfaction in my life, in my health, in my future. Amen? I can't get no satisfaction. That's carnal. That's secular. That's thinking that we have to do it. Oh, but God, you don't understand what's happened to me, Lord. It's over. The expert said, the marriage counselor said, oh, the banker said, the attorney said, the doctor said. Are you saying that they're more of an expert than God is? Who are we going to believe? The expert man or the expert God? Because God says all things are possible. All things. Does your situation fit in all, yes or no?
Yes.
All things, God. With God, all things are possible. So I want to tell you about now a man. His name is Justin Smith. They found him on the road after he had been dead for several hours. And I found this little like 1 minute piece on Good Morning America. Do you guys mind checking it out with me? Watch this story about Justin, who was dead for about 4 hours on the side of the road.
This morning, 26-year-old Justin Smith is grateful to be alive after nearly freezing to death.
I started shaking his head. No, no, you can't leave me. You can't leave me.
Last February, Don Smith found his son unconscious in a snowbank. He'd been there overnight where temperatures had dipped to 4 degrees below zero.
He was blue, his face, he was lifeless, and the car was on scene, the state police was on scene, they were doing essentially a death investigation.
But Dr. Gerald Coleman didn't give up, refusing to pronounce him dead. He and his team at Lehigh Valley Hospital performed CPR for 2 hours as they slowly started warming Justin's stiff, cold body. And then, over the next few days, doctors say his brain miraculously went from showing no activity to normal activity.
We knew we needed a big miracle.
Using a special machine that pumps, warms, and provides more oxygen to his blood, his heart started beating on its own.
No, I've never even heard anything like this. It's amazing. It's something I've never heard of. I can't thank you about enough.
Looks pretty good for a dead guy, doesn't he?
And both pinky fingers, but has since made a near complete recovery.
It was like I woke up from a dream, but it wasn't a dream, huh?
And brother, you asked me, what was he doing out there in the first place? He was walking home from a party, walk he had made a million times. They think possibly he slipped, hit his head, and he was just stuck out there unconscious. Now, his body was frozen solid. It's crazy and morbid as it sounds. Just like you have meat in the refrigerator, if you want to preserve it, you put it in the freezer.
Is that
what's his brain?
It's quite, that's the part they can't figure out. It seems as if his body was frozen solid. So it was preserved, essentially. When the body heated up, the body came back alive. Literally.
Just
what
happened.
And the doctor didn't hear that. That's the history. That's the history. Moving forward.
All stuff changed.
This could possibly change the history moving forward. Friends, this wasn't 2,000 years ago. This wasn't Lazarus, who Jesus personally raised from the dead. This wasn't even my puppy in my bedroom, because it was a puppy and not a person. This was a man proclaimed dead for hours on the side of the road. How do you even feel inclined to put CPR on a cadaver for 2 hours or more? They must have been saying in the emergency room, I can't believe that doctor. He'll just hope for anything. Why doesn't he give up? Doesn't he know the man's been dead for hours? Why did he go on for 10 minutes? 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 80 minutes, 90 minutes, 120 minutes of this. My friends, if that doctor didn't give up on Justin Smith, you can't give up on your situation. You just need to keep giving it some CPR. CPR, Christ promised resurrected. I just made that up. I'm hearing this for the first time too. Christ promised resurrected. And isn't it interesting that the power was in the blood? They had to warm the blood. They had to oxygenate the blood. You know, it's not just your blood that flows through your veins. Once you get saved, it is Christ's blood that also flows through your vein. The blood has been applied. His blood is in your past. His blood is in your present. His blood has gone before you, and it is in your future. Once he shed his blood for you, his blood washes away sin. It brings healing. Come on, somebody. It is safety, soundness, and wholeness. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Hopelessness produces powerlessness. Are we going to allow the enemy to steal our hope, or are we going to keep our anchor in Jesus? Are we going to stay with him? Are we going to believe him? You know, in Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. If your heart is sick and if you're sad, friends, I subject to you today, let the hope of God come on the inside of you right now. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope will bring faith. Faith will move God. God will change your situation. But it all depends on whether or not we can hold on to hope. And I believe you can today. And it doesn't matter what the experts say. You can't believe what everybody tells you, including a doctor. Well, highway patrol said he's dead. Came in, his bread's not, he's not breathing, his heart's not beating, he doesn't have any brain activity, he's dead. Well, you would think they were the experts, but you can't believe them because they're in the natural. So I don't care what the experts told you. Experts told Christy Brown's mom something too. Christy Brown was born June 5th, 1932, to Patrick and Bridget. They had 22 children. Woman was a glutton for punishment. Christy was number 10 of 22. I brought a picture of Christy. Christy was born with cerebral palsy. Couldn't move his head, couldn't move his arms, couldn't move his fingers, couldn't move his chest, couldn't move his legs. What was he going to do? Well, as a child, the doctors looked at his mom and said, hey, I'm so sorry. His brain's not working. He's not hearing you. He can't think. He can't even control his body. He's basically brain dead in there. So why don't you just go ahead and commit him to a facility? And mama looked at the doctor because she wasn't ready to give up hope. So she took Christy home and talked to him like she talked to the rest of the kids. She took Christy home and she taught him like she taught the rest of the kids. She took Christy home and she hoped beyond hope that he heard her. She hoped beyond hope that he was responding to her. And one day, she noticed his left foot was moving. His left foot was trying to get her attention. He could move his left foot. Well, with his left foot, they began to communicate. He could hear her. He could understand her. She began to teach him how to talk, teach him how to think. She began to teach him how to write grammatically correct sentences with his left foot. Who the doctors called an imbecile was actually eloquent. He was so eloquent, he penned two books. And not just two books, he penned a bestseller. And in 1970, he earned $370,000 from the bestseller that he wrote when the doctors said that he wouldn't amount to anything. What are you thinking about giving up on? What are you thinking is over? Jesus said to Cleopas and the other disciple, you know, everybody kind of paints Jesus as, oh, Jesus, he just says all nice things. Well, in this verse, he's like, why are you so thick-headed? I'm like, that is why he's my Jesus, because I get that kind of conversation. He's like, why are you so thick-headed? Why do you find it so hard to believe every word that the prophets have ever said? I wonder if he thinks that about us sometimes. He's like, why? Why do you have trouble believing in me? Why do you have trouble having hope in me? Don't you believe every word that I've written and I've given you, telling you I am here for you? When it was dark and you thought you were alone, I was there with you. Matter of fact, I wanted to make sure I was there with you, so I went there before you and waited on you to get there. And when you got there in your darkest place, I was there so I could receive you, and I stood with you, and I breathed hope into you, and I breathed faith into you, and I wouldn't let you give up. And that might be where you're at right now, and you might be thinking, I don't have any hope. This is God's voice coming through just little old me right now saying, believe the unbelievable. Don't give up yet. God is with you, and he's begging you to believe him. He's begging you to have faith in him. Because when you have faith, all things are possible. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in believing in him. But we have to have hope.
That's why we talk about Growth Track. That's why we talk about iConnects. Because if you don't take the time to go get grounded, if you don't take the time to go get plugged in through Growth Track, you're going to have a harder time finding an iConnect. You're going to have a harder time, well, what's an iConnect? It's a small group where you surround people who are going to breathe hope into you when you need it. They're going to breathe life of God into you when you need it. They're going to pray for you when you need it. It's going to take it from a big church to a community of believers who know you, who love you, who you can pray for and who can pray for you. I'm telling you right now, why are you holding back? Because that might be the very place that brings you hope. I don't have time. Do you have hope? Because if you're short on hope, maybe you need to make a little time. Well, you just want more small groups. You don't even have to meet here. You meet at Bread Company. You go play basketball. Do whatever you do, but do it with them. Don't do it with the people who are going to push you down. Don't do it with the people who don't believe in you. Don't do it with the people who don't put their hope in the Lord Jesus, because that's going to keep you down here. Wherever you're at today, God did not intend for you to stay here. He wants you to take from level to level, from faith to faith, from victory to victory. Come on, somebody. So then finally, Jesus is with them. They stop to eat, and he blesses the meal. They're like, this seems so oddly familiar. He breaks the bread the same way he broke his body on the cross, the same way he did at the Last Supper. It seems so oddly familiar. And he gives it to them. That's what God did for you. He blessed your life. He broke himself for you and he gave himself away. And when they saw that, that's when they finally, the light came on and they finally started realizing who he was. They're like, oh my gosh, you're Jesus. He's like, I've been here the whole time. Just because you didn't see him doesn't mean he's not there. Just because you haven't seen the blessing doesn't mean he hasn't already released it, like the dinner on the pier. God has blessing out ahead of you. He's got blessing he's been working on. Just because you haven't seen the result doesn't mean that God's not at work. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you need prayer for hope in a situation, online, on television, at all campuses, would you raise your hand with me? Because I want to know to pray for you. Father God, I just pray over my friends right now. Father God, hopelessness can seem dark, but you are the light of the world. You are the light of our life. You are the light in our situation. God, we can feel like we're in a dark place, but we are surrounded by light. We are enveloped in light. We are in Christed. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you. Father God, I pray that you reveal to them that Christ is not only around them, but Christ is in them. Christ in you, it says, the hope of glory. God, I pray that you rain down your glory. You rain down your hope. You rain down your encouragement. Father, I pray that you open the eyes of our understanding. We can see how that you're at work behind the scenes when we think you're not at work, God, that we won't focus on what we think are the bad things, but we will stand knowing you have good things for us. You have great things for us. God, we praise you and we honor you. And I just release a flood of blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.